Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Make a rocket ship to the stars.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, I just want to do a little checkup here, right? Especially with you, Clint. We have gone and been there and laid our eyes on this crew at OTAs. We've been here and laid our eyes on this group at Mandatory Minicamp, where we saw nearly the entire team out there on the field, and we watched a lot of different areas. We watched the offense, the defense, all the positions. And I would wonder to you, has anything changed for you? Is the number one question about the Houston Texans still the same? Has anything changed? Have you felt anything different from what you've seen early on in OTAs and in the mandatory minicamp, that maybe the number one question going into everything has changed?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I tell you what, it's the gap has widened for me.
Oh, it has.
And they say no.
Yeah, because I think from the day that Larry and Stafford called in and his you know argument was that he felt like the wide receiver need was more desperate than the O-line need. And while I disagreed with him, it did make me stop and think, like, you know, this is a little bit more desperate of a wide receiver room than maybe. So I thought, you know, that's a very close second. Given that they addressed it and what we saw from just briefly with Jalen Noel and then obviously Jaden Higgins, that first day of mandatory mini, I think the wide receiver room is going to be okay.
So you had it close. You had them in the O-line.
I thought the overall needs going into the draft was the wide receiver room may be as desperate or as much of a need as the O-line in terms of fixing it, right? And you look at the draft and they addressed it. They addressed both in the draft, really. And I think the two receivers, at least one of the receivers that they picked, I think is going to be an impact player for the Texans. I still don't know what the offensive line is going to look like. There's too many factors. Like there's, you know, you got to have the tone setter. You got to, if you're going to change the attitude, the mentality, the overall standard in the O-line room, the O-line coach can try to do that, but it's going to really, really take hold when a player does that. And then not to mention you brought in several new guys and you move guys around and is Fisher going to be good enough at right tackle? He showed it was pretty promising last year, but is he good enough? I don't know what's going on in the offensive line. I don't know what the communication piece is going to look like. I like the coach, but I don't know if what he's coaching and what they're saying is going to literally sink into these guys. So to me, it's the O-line, and the gap is back to being rather large for me. I'm comfortable with the wide receiver group.
Really?
I don't know much has changed about the O-line for me.
See, I think right, we could agree that the offensive line was still the number one question walking into the season. And as I said, if you're just jumping in, do you think for you the question has changed? Is the question still the offensive line, or has it moved to somewhere else? I will still say offensive line, Clint, but I don't know if I would say it's not widened. I feel better about it.
About the O-line?
Yeah. I feel obviously we have not seen them really hit them in pads yet. We'll see that coming up at training camp. But seeing the positions come together, seeing them out there and seeing that they seem to have a pretty good feel of the guys they want on up front. It seems to be like a six-man battle right now that they've got it narrowed down to. I feel better about the offensive line situation. I feel a good amount better than walking into it.
Well, I still think it's
the number of questions.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't feel better necessarily about the players. I feel better about the approach. To me, that's the one thing that we can take is the messaging that's coming from the front office and from the new coach, I think, is a real one. I mean, they're demanding physicality. D'Amico's watching them like a hawk. And then it seems like the smoke and mirrors of, well, we just want to get our best five guys out there. No matter what that, we got a bunch of guys that have position flexibility, and we just want to get our best five guys. It seems like that approach was going to scare the hell out of me. It seems like the only guy that's moving seems to be Juice Scruggs. And so I'm A-okay with that. So I do feel better about that.
Yeah.
But I still haven't – like, I've seen enough from the two young wide receivers to go, yeah, it's going to be really – barring injury, it's going to be really difficult for one, if not both of these guys, to make plays for the Texans. I still don't know if these guys they brought in the O-line can play.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's fair. I didn't have – like, Christian Kirk and Nico made me feel pretty good. Now it was going to be, what do they do? So John Metchie and company are not the next wave, and now they've created the next wave with what they've done in the draft. And, yeah, you got to feel pretty good about that. I thought for myself, Clint, I'm not even really going to feel anything until we get to training camp, until we get to preseason games, until we start to actually see them on the field. Titus Howard, I feel a lot better about him and the movement of where he's going there. You spoke up Juice Scruggs. We talked about it before. I do like the thought of that. It doesn't seem like it's a boy where you're drafted, how much you're getting paid type of deal, that makes a huge amount of it. It looks like they are trying to find the right crew together. So I didn't think after OTAs and mandatory minicamp that they would get me into a space where I'm like, you know what? I feel better about this group. Yeah. But
well, I tell you where I do feel better about the guys, the players, is the depth. Like you just mentioned Juice, and let's just for now, it's either gonna be Patterson or Andrews. But you're three deep at center is Anderson, Patterson, and Juice. Juice is going to be your immediate guard off the pine.
Yep.
So I mean, you're talking about you're two guard injuries away from being down to guys like Michael Dieter and Dietz ended up doing a good job. But Michael Dieter, what was the guy's last name? It was a fullback in Washington before he came here.
Yeah, Green.
Green or Kenyon Green or Kendrick Green. Like those guys were one snap away from playing really the whole time that they were active
here. And they were playing.
Yeah. And they were playing, right? So yeah, I think you're better on this. I don't think there's any doubt you're gonna be better on the start in front. And then I like the play at depth. Again, you got guys that are guards that would fill in at guard. You got guys that are center that are gonna fill in at center. And it's not this best offensive lineman, best player is just gonna move around and play kind of deal. You got at the tackle position right now, you got an old Wiley veteran. I always forget the guy's name. The big
Cam Robinson.
Cam would be the starter. What's the guy from New England?
Trent Brown. I got you.
And then you've got obviously Ariante Ursaria, who's a wild card, who might be a starter, who might be a backup. But you've got legit depth at every single position. That's not anymore this. Oh well, boy, if somebody gets hurt, we're going to shift this guy here and that guy there. And this is like it's legitimate depth chart. It seems like anyway.
That's a fair point. I haven't really looked. Like I have really concentrated more on the front line, and maybe the front line didn't didn't grow to the space I thought it would after the season ended. Right, I thought they'd be a little bit more aggressive, but the overall depth is better. Yeah. Like, you know, Trent Brown coming in.
It's real depth.
Yeah.
Right, I mean, it's real depth. It's not like it's patchwork that the last second they're trading for Kendrick Green to bring him in here.
Yeah.
And truth be told, it was an admirable effort. He was damn sure giving everything he got. But if you're down to that, man, you're outmanned. Yeah. You're not going to be outmanned.
That's not the fix.
If Juice Scruggs has a play, you're not going to be outmanned if Jarrett Patterson is the guy. Now you get beyond them, we'll see. I don't think you're going to be outmanned if Ursary or Trent Brown or Cam Robinson or Blake Fisher, whoever your tackles, and you're not going to be outmanned, right? It's going to take several injuries for this offensive line to get in the position that it was in last year, where really the last 2 years, where you got guys going in and you're just like, we don't even know what position this guy plays.
Yeah, where to a place where your tackle had to move, you know, inside at the guard position. Speaking of Titus Howard, Titus talked about the feel that the offensive line, when he sat down with Aaron Wilson, talked about the feel of how he thinks the offensive line for the Texans is being viewed.
Yeah, I mean, we got a chip on our shoulder, and people underestimate what we're going to be this year, but, you know, that's their problem. When that first game come and we come out that ball and hit them in the mouth, they're going to be like, oh, these guys for real.
Changes the narrative.
Like we've been putting that work in right now, and we're going to continue to put that work in training camp, and every day is going to be perfect. But I'm telling you, when that game one come, and they see what the Texans offensive line is about, we're going to be ready.
All right, when you hear underestimated, like, to me, it's like, all right,
that's what it is for me. Man. I'm sorry.
When you hear,
because they were a joke until proven otherwise, I don't even need to hear that, dude.
Like, but when you hear it though, Tyler, that means there's a certain level that they think that they should feel like they should be viewed as. And for me, Clint, it's just like, I honest to God, I look at them and my approach and expectation is, you all just have to be average. Like, you'd love it for it to be more, but that group up front, when I look at it, I don't know if they have Pro Bowlers up there. I don't know if they have, you know, great players. But can they be a group that works together and understands what they need to do and just at least be average? And to me, I think that's a fair way to view them. And if you look at them like that, I don't think that's underestimated.
Well, I think that expectation is real. I think that goal, setting that goal is realistic. They can achieve that. I'll say everything that was so wrong with the Texans offense last year, all the replacements, the OC, the O-line coach, the new offensive line, Titus Howard at guard, you know, Cam Robinson at tackle, you know, what all these different moves. If all of it together in their own right, if you're just average, C.J. Stroud, Nico Collins, Joe Mixon, these cats can do work. Yeah. C.J. Stroud can take an average group and make them really, really good.
We're working with Clint here.
There have been a lot of good football teams whose offensive line reached the average space, and they've done big things.
No question. And I think C.J. Stroud is that caliber player where you give him average protection, an average run game, and he'll take the offense to the next level. What the next level is, I don't know exactly what that is, but he will make plays, he'll make smart decisions, he'll make big time throws in big moments like Tampa Bay 2 years ago. He'll go out there and strike down the field and give you a chance to win ball games. But you just can't have the guy guessing. You can't have the guy not knowing where pressure's coming. You can't have the opponent knowing critical moments. All we got to do is heat this guy up and we'll get home. No question about it. We'll get home.
Yeah.
That can't be the case. You put average around C.J. Stroud, Nico Collins, and Joe Mixon,
I was going to say the running game. Those guys, they and Joe did it a lot last year, and I think if Nick Chubb is who he is, they can work through and make offensive line look better.
No question.
They can get yards in a way that maybe Damian Pierce hadn't been able to do so.
No question. You put average around the stars on this offense, they can take it to the next level. I wholeheartedly believe it.
Yeah. So in the text line coming through saying, everybody was panicking about the D-line last year, and they were great. I'm going to trust D'Amico. I would say the last 2 years, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to do this again for a third straight year. 2 years ago, you did it. He said, hey, man, what about this receiving corps? It makes me a little nervous. And he was like, oh, we'll be fine. And Nico Collins and Tank Dell emerged last year.
They emerged, but what's gone on since then? Tell me, what's gone on since then?
A couple of injuries.
They traded a second-round pick for Steph Diggs.
It's really about
paid him $20-some-odd million. Dollars. And then they went out and drafted two receivers with the top three picks this year. So, I mean, clearly it was – you know, that you're right. Tank and Nico emerged in a big way. Yes.
Yeah, that we thought they were weaponless and they came through, and he was right. Yes. Last year we said to him about the D-line and he said, "No, we'll be fine." Interior D-line, he said, mm-hmm. "We'll be fine. I like those guys." And those guys did play a lot better than what we thought they would. And I am, when we speak to him in training camp this year, I am going to pose to him, "All right, this offensive line maybe didn't come together the way that many of us thought they would." And that's probably it's a fair question.
Damn it. We're about to enter the season where Ron starts pissing off all our guests. it's been a fun off season.
That's what makes it fun, man. That's what makes it fun.
I mean, if you want me to ask the softballs here, that's not even one that's a tough one.
No.
All right, we've done. It's a tradition now. It's three years in a row. Hey man, there's one spot that we're a little concerned about, man. We get your thoughts on the offensive line.
Speaking of our tradition, unlike any other,
I just got the red carpet. We're wanting to get into a controversy.
Why do you have to play that ass hat?
Man, kind of speaks to what we're discussing here. Need you to get in the right mind frame as we approach football season.
That is a fair question with him. Your thoughts? Here, a little concerned. Right, I mean, I would say to you, Tyler, what for you as a Sicker fan? What is the number one thing that you are? What's the number one? You gyrating ass dancer to back that ass up / pony. What is the number one concern you have for this football team?
Guilty for shaking that ass. No, it's the O line.
Yeah,
it's the offensive line. It's more particular, just protecting C.J. Stroud. But yeah,
I'm not going to dance or move because you or Linda Sterner have a problem with me asking. Remember, she got mad at me. Who did I ask? I think Lovey. She thought my question was too aggressive for Lovey.
Sometimes divorce is a good thing.
Yeah.
Hey, show.
Yeah, old Linda, she'll have to call in again.
That's pitiful.
You know the number. 735-7246.
Yeah, hadn't done something like this in a while. It makes me nervous.
I'm just kidding, Linda, man. Just enjoy your evening.
Just have you good day.
I'm going to come over there and whoop that ass.
I ain't got to worry about Linda, man. She got them grandkids. She
you don't make me head. Come into the city?
Linda ain't coming to the city no more. She got them grandkids, right?
Are you shitting me?
Stop trapped. See, that's old Linda. That's pre.
That is. That was.
That's pre living girls lady right born. There. That's different.
Get the hell out of here.
It's a different one. This is a granny that'll make everything in that refrigerator that Liv asked for.
You're on thin ice, bub.
Ain't that the damn truth? Softer than granny panties.
I told my mom when she was here last, said, yeah, we're just trying to slow up here on the candy and stuff. Like, just doing candies on Friday.
Walk in, she had a Halloween bowl, didn't she?
She walked to CVS up the street and came back. With bags full. It's just mine. I just wanted some. You wanted the sour airhead. You wanted this is what you wanted. Get out of here. All right, it's Tuesday. Let's play a little real or fake. I pose a question. You tell me if it's real or fake. We'll do that as we continue right here live on The Drive.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch as well, you can jump in. Is it a Tuesday, a little real or fake? I read a statement, and you tell me if that's real or fake. You can text that in and do your thing. First one, fellas. I'll start with you, Clinton. Old Jaden Higgins, the wide receiver, Iowa State, he will be the Texans' best rookie in 2025.
Real. I needed to see that first day of mandatory minicamp. That go route, go gadget arm, using his body, keeping the DB on his back hip, and using that, reaching that long arm out and that one arm catch. And then we saw that it may be even more impressive, Ron. You mentioned this, you brought this to my attention. You was like, man, that was a big target across the middle when he ran an in route.
Yeah.
And the view that we had was perfect. It was just, that's a big, long, rangy wide receiver. We've seen CJ Stroud successfully over and over and over again throw that ball to Nico Collins and others, but Nico Collins consistently. I think Higgins is the guy in this rookie class that's going to have the biggest impact.
Yeah.
Now, he may not have the most catches, but when it comes to red zone.
You mean catches from rookies? You think there's a chance Noel has more catches?
Yeah, I mean, I think Noel has a chance to be a more targeted, especially if they're going to play a little bit more four wide out, or if something happens to Christian Kirk and he gets a little bit more run. I mean, there's a real chance. I mean, he's got some real twitch and that underneath stuff. I could see him getting some catches, but when it comes to impacting the game in a big time way and complimenting Nico Collins, I think Higgins is the guy. So I'm gonna go real with that one.
Magic,
is this real?
Magic says real. Got more of a chance to get on the field early, and I think that's a big piece to Ariante Ursary, a little bit more difficult to look at or to see his play. But again, like as of right now, the bet would be that he's not playing immediately.
Yeah,
right. With Cam Robinson and Blake Fisher and that right now, it would seem that Noel, I think, is the other one that will get some run. I would have been. I'm going to say real too. I would have been more apt to think, man, Woody Marks might have a really big role, but now with them bringing in Nick Chubb, I think that probably takes his role down a notch as well. So, and someone said, who's in the class? Higgins, Ursary, Noel, the other receiver from Iowa State, Jalen Smith, the corner you really like, Woody Marks, they're both from USC, and then Jalen Reed and the other guys, I would imagine, would have an uphill battle just to get on the field and to be there every week. So, yeah, I think Higgins is the real one here. All right, real or fake? Alperen Şengün would be the most positively impacted player if Durant comes to the Houston Rockets. Şengün would be the most positively impacted player if Durant were to come to Houston.
Ooh, that's a good one. I'm going to say no.
You say fake.
You are fake news.
I'm sorry. I got to play that. My bad.
Come on.
I'm going to go Amen Thompson. So I'm going to say fake. We've seen Şengün show up and do his thing with the crew that's there now. Like I think the one that all of a sudden obviously gets the second best perimeter defender. I think the one that all of a sudden benefits from the attention that Durant gets. I think the one that has the highest ceiling out of all of them is Amen Thompson. So I'm going to go with Amen Thompson. So I'm going to say fake.
Fake. All right. Tyler Riller, fake. You think Şengün will be the one who is most positively impacted if Durant were to come to Houston?
That one's a tough answer for me. But I would say in response to that, for the love of God, Udoka, the decision makers, Rafael Stone, just make sure Shingun's still in town. Don't do any trade that involves Durant coming and sending Şengün away. I need Alpi here in H-Town. That's where I sit with him.
I'll say, we're on the same page. I'll say fake, too. I think Amen Thompson, the space, and I think Amen Thompson just kind of sitting there and watching KD work, kind of seeing that too. Obviously, their games are different. And he's a knockdown shooter, but I think, one, his space on the floor, like the driving lanes that open up for a guy like Amen Thompson, which is right now the best thing he does with a KD there. And KD's a good passer, too, so I do like that. Someone did text in, I do like this, Jabari Smith. If Jabari Smith were still on the team and they got Kevin Durant, I mean, that would be a player you would say, oh, if Jabari could kind of learn and pattern himself, a bigger, now he's not 7 foot like him, but he's 6'10", lengthy, yeah, and can shoot. That'd be a good person for him to be around. I just don't know if Jabari would actually be here if that trade happened.
Well, the other part of the Jabari Smith thing is if Dillon Brooks is involved in a KD trade, then that is because the organization feels like Jabari Smith and Tari Eason.
Tari Eason, yeah.
But those guys can feel that void on the defensive end. So you may be right, Jabari. I mean, Jabari's got to find – something's got to shake up for Jabari to find his way into the starting lineup and for him to get more minutes. Now, whoever departs in a Kevin Durant deal, it may benefit him to the tune of being a starter all of a sudden, and then you see a guy that could potentially flourish. Yeah, so – that's a good one, man. But I got to stick with Amen Thompson, man. For me, that's the guy that I don't know. There's a lot of ifs with Amen Thompson. That's the one reason why I'm probably not as convinced as everybody else is. He's got to really work on his shooting. He's got to shoot the ball better. He's got to be a better shooter. Like, that works sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't. So I'm just talking about the athletic freak that he is. Yeah. That part of him, as is, I think would benefit big time.
He's year two and he can't shoot a lick, and I don't even know if he has as much confidence, and he's averaging 14-8,
right.
And he's a top on the first team all defense, right? And year two, right? So, and he's, 19, 20 years old? So that's why you look at that. All right, Tyler, I'm going to head to you, real or fake. I can comfortably skate at a skating rink right now. You could strap up some. You could strap up some skates.
I do need details.
You could strap up some skate. You go. We went to a skating rink right now. Roller, okay, ice, not ice. Roller,
not roller skate. Blades though.
Roller
skates.
Roller skates. Yeah,
the four wheels.
If you
perfectly symmetrical.
There are people who use blades out there. If you can.
Oh, I was a blader.
Can you get out there right now? Put on some skates at a, not ice. And roller skate right now. You think you can confidently you can do that?
110% could. Spent a lot of days growing up in the old Dirty Bay in Baytown at a very old roller rink my mom actually grew up at, and then I went to it when I was a kid. The old Baytown roller rink over there had some birthday parties. I was an expert rollerblader.
It had to be, I know.
Some parties. Your mom had parties there, then your boy right here had parties there.
Yeah,
then
man.
You had parties there, geez,
that old lady that ran that thing was so nice. Yeah,
absolutely.
Clint, you think you can throw on some skates right now and go?
No, I can't. It wasn't too long ago I was out there doing it.
Oh, you were skating recently?
One of them nephews or nieces or somebody
had you strapped them up?
Party. Oh, yeah, I put them on and got out there.
I used to take my blades to the Vans skate park when I got older.
I did not do that.
Magic said, that's a no for me, dog. Champ Slice, I personally can't anymore. But growing up, we did. Oh, man, we used to skate land all the time.
Lay out some sick grinds.
I know this is a tough one coming for me, but it'd have to be like jumping on a bike for me. I just have to get a couple of runs around there and
get some training wheels.
Well, I'll be honest, I never got super confident like I did when I was younger because it hurt and falls. Falling hurts a little bit more now than it used to. But I get around there. I get around there, use the old brakes.
Boy, man, I went around. I
turn the corner real fast, get down low like I'm, like you speed skating or something in the Olympics.
Went to a skate birthday party.
Get one leg out a little wider than the other.
My daughter's friend had a skate party this weekend. It's a different time, man. It's a different time, boy. But that skating is not an activity that is done anymore. The amount of older kids that I saw with the little
walker
thing to help you skate, or so many people up against the wall. Like, there are so many people at the entrance to get onto the rink that were just holding on for dear life. My God.
I wonder how young I was when mom was dropping me off at the Baytown Roller Rink. Mom would drop us off for an hour, 2 hours at a time, and it didn't. I mean, I was young.
I thought
was a spot.
Boy, everybody in Baytown trusted that old lady. That old lady, thank the good Lord, that was a good woman.
Yeah.
Because if she'd have been just a tad bit of bad boy, she had access to all of us. We were 100 deep in that joint. No parents, nowhere.
All right. Speaking of Kevin Durant, the latest from the best in the business, talking about where things are with the Rockets and Kevin Durant. We'll let you hear that coming up next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we are live here on The Drive. Shams Charania of ESPN, he was on Pat McAfee today. He said a Kevin Durant trade with the Houston Rockets or the Miami Heat is a piece or two away from happening. That is the latest there is, obviously they're in contact and a deal is a piece or two away. So clearly the Rockets are in conversation, the Heat as well. The Spurs and the Timberwolves are the other two teams that we're hearing a lot of. By the way, there was reports saying that KD's potentially preferred destination may be San Antonio. But these three teams, the Rockets, Miami, and Spurs, are all ones that they would be looking at. So a piece or two away could happen here if the Rockets pick up Kevin Durant. And, you know, with the conversation that and the kind of the stance that many people are on, like Kick Rocks, who hates the idea of it, and many others, and then obviously there are others who love the idea of it and would love to see what this would look like, especially depending on what players they give up. I'm trying to think, all right, let me put myself in a position of others. This is a guy who I've said can still score 25, 27 a game. He is was second in the league or best in the league in scoring off the dribble. He shot is a primary as a jump shooter. He shot 53% from the field this year in 60 plus games. Him and I believe Jokic are the only two players to score the amount they've scored to shoot over 50% like that this season. But I'm trying to look at the other side of it. And yes, the Rockets have a young crew of guys. And you can jump in with this 713-872-5725. What the hell is the phone number? 5724.
You're getting there, Bob. You're getting there.
I'm getting there slowly. And they got that double play, didn't they?
Oh, he dropped.
713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. Honest to goodness. And I could hear this one. Do you think there is somebody, if Kevin Durant were here, that he would stunt their growth? Like, obviously, they're not going to trade, you know, everybody. But, and obviously, there are going to be some guys here that you would like to be scorers. Is there anybody here that you look at and you say, yeah, Kevin Durant might get in the way in terms of stunting their growth? Because I don't get a sense of seeing that. As I've seen some people say, Jabari Smith, maybe, possibly. But Jabari Smith wasn't starting last year, you know, in the postseason. But do you look at anybody that could be affected negatively in your mind
by
Kevin Durant?
The only one that I think is even reasonable here is Jalen Green.
If he stays.
If you were still on the Jalen Green train. Yeah, if he stays. And if you were still on the Jalen Green train of he's the guy that can go give you 38, he's the guy, bear with him, he's going to come around, he's going to be more consistent. I don't think that has a chance in hell of happening if KD's here.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, KD's going to be the one with the ball in his hand in clutch time. KD's going to be the one getting, you know, most of the buckets kind of deal. Definitely from a ball handler, from a shooting perspective. So I think the only one is Jalen Green. If you were still under the impression that Jalen Green was or should be given, you know, afforded that patience, if you will.
That is the case. If Jalen Green is here, yes, I think that.
I mean, everybody else, you can argue.
Someone said Şengün. I don't agree that he stunts him because KD would be the one and Şengün would drop. No, I don't. I think he would be of help to him. I think he would be of great help, as we talked about a little bit earlier.
I mean, the I thought there were times where when Jalen Green was getting off, where the Jalen Green Şengün two-man game was fun to watch, was really fun to watch. And now you switch that to, instead of Jalen Green, it'll be Kevin Durant. I think Kevin Durant and Şengün could run a two-man game that's a lot of fun. Not to mention the obvious, you know, the defense is going to have to expand a bit for KD, which is going to give him more room to work. I think he benefits big time from it.
Yeah, I don't see that. A text line coming in. If KD gets hurt, who's going to average 22 a game? I mean, yeah, I mean, obviously you take a chance with injury.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, I'm not saying that, and we see people get hurt. Hell, Tyrese Haliburton is hurt right now. In the NBA Finals, people get hurt, but I mean, you know, to me, that's not a move in which that's going to stop me.
Well,
someone said Shepherd would lose will lose potential experience and a wasted number three pick. No, he did. He can be out there.
Them old boys that can fill it up from range and Golden State didn't mind it.
He can be out there. He can be out there with KD. He can help with KD.
Yeah, I tell you, the question about if KD gets hurt. Well, I mean, look, ideally you need Şengün, or ideally you need Amen Thompson, or whoever it may be. Pick one of these young players. If at some point while KD's here, they can do what Jalen Williams is doing right now. Now, obviously, he's doing it in a finals series, but what he's doing right now, where he's been good. He's always been a threat. He's been a guy that can give you 20, 20, 21 on any given night. Now, all of a sudden, he's gone 26, 27, and 40 in three straight NBA Finals games. Like, he's emerging as
Shea's not stopped that.
Right, right. And so the idea is, hopefully, you got one of these young guys that takes that next step and becomes that Jalen Williams, or that you know, Robin to Batman, so to speak. And it's not all on KD's arms, but right now you just don't have that guy, and you're rolling the dice of that guy coming around and that guy being able to carry a franchise if you don't go get KD.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't see, as you said, Jalen Green would be the only one, but right now I don't think that is in the mindset. Right. I think the thought is we watched what we dealt with him, and we need somebody to, you know, entertain that. You look at this, you know, Şengün averaged 19, 5, and 10 last year. I don't think that gets stunted. I think that probably improves. I think Amen Thompson, as we talked about earlier, is somebody who really would benefit from him and will get better. He's going to be getting better anyway, and now to have that person spaced out on the floor. So I don't even see it from that angle of, like, yeah, man, he'd get in the way. He would get in the way of stunting somebody's growth when you go do that. Because sometimes that does occur. So I don't look at that. Somebody text in, Halliburton lost me 200 last night. I bet he did.
How you betting Halliburton on the bum leg?
You think that'd be that bad? I wonder what his point total was. My man came through with four. He had that Charles Barkley triple single.
Oh my God!
That 4, 6, and 7. Yeah, man. By the way, they did announce he's got that dreaded Clint, that right calf strain, to have an MRI today. Them calves, I will never ever now not hear a calf and not believe that we're talking about
Achilles.
Yep. Every time I see him out there, I think of who we're talking about. KD, when KD was out there jumping up and down before that game against the Raptors, pop, he came down. He was doing real good for a quarter.
Oh,
then came down and popped that piece.
That thing let loose, rolled up the back of his leg.
Yeah. Someone said, yeah, hey, how about Şengün? Yeah, you're right, Texter. Şengün can average 22. I don't know who's going to average the 19 that's missing from him.
Yeah, I mean, we got to get a little more of that. We got to get a little more than that.
Yeah, no, but I don't think as the conversation. I don't think getting him hurts other stunting players' growth. Right?
Yeah.
Like for you, maybe you thought Reed Shepard's going to be a guy that you have the ball in his hand and he's creating, and he's the one pulling up, shooting jump shots. I kind of see him as the guy that is spotting up somewhere, and that he is benefiting from the star player and getting open shots, doing the things. All right, what you got coming up at the 4?
All right, we got MLB All-Star fan voting. Where the Astros stand, should we continue this silliness? There's a big question about last night's final game. What went on in that fourth quarter? Who should have been playing in that fourth quarter, Ron? We'll talk about that next right here on Sports Radio 610.